Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I proudly present to you, for your listening pleasure, We Heart Music Radio. Brought to you by the good people at WeHeartMusic.com.
This is Bo with We Heart Music Radio.
Hey, this is Paul Robb from Information Society, and you're listening to We Heart Music Radio.
Hey, Paul, I'm a huge fan, so excuse me if I get all nervous talking to you.
Don't worry about it. It happens, to the best of us. It happened to me last summer when we were doing dates with Andy Bell from Erasure.
Before I actually ask the first question, I kind of you have to bear with me because I have to say that Hack was the first album or the first CD I've ever bought. So this album has a lot of personal relationship with the album.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then when I bought the original album, your self-titled, it seems like such a departure from the two sound. Whose idea was it? Was it your idea that to get this kind of house music soundbite, copy and paste kind of music?
You mean there was a difference between the first album and Hack, you mean?
Yeah, because to me, like, they sound very different just because the Hack is more kind of like, it's kind of hacker theme with, you know, house music and like DJ mixes and sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it wasn't the same as the self-titled. I mean,
yeah, I get what you're saying, and I think that keeping in mind that you came at them in the reverse order that they were created in, so it might seem stranger to it might have seemed stranger to you at the time than it really was. But you know, Hack was our sophomore record, as they say, and on the upside, I think that a lot of what came out in the recording sessions of Hack and in the, you know, just the whole way Hack ended up being was sort of our take on what we had been exposed to over the last 2 or 3 years since we, you know, after we moved from Minneapolis to New York. I mean, we had been traveling back and forth to New York since, you know, 86, late 85, but you know, in 88, the whole band moved, or 87, the whole band moved to New York, and we were suddenly officially New Yorkers. And I think that stew and mixture of influences and sounds and, you know, that we were exposed to in New York was very influential on making that potpourri kind of vibe that Hack has. And then in terms of the house beats, I think we were just responding to what we were exposed to in the clubs.
I think that record actually was way ahead of its time, in my opinion, anyway.
Thanks.
But by the way, so you guys are really into technology, because I noticed that when you guys have hidden messages on your CD, I mean, this is that, you got to remember that time period was nobody was really doing this. And I just love that. Like on, I think Peace and Love Incorporated, you guys had like a binary code hidden.
Right.
Were you guys all into like computer stuff? I mean, in the 90s?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was the essence of the band. Was we were always interested in, I want to say, the intersections between technology and humanity, and the intersections between one human being and another human being, and also in the intersections between, you know, individual humans and society as a whole. So it's those intermediate areas, those gray areas, that were always very interesting to us. And, you know, we just happened to be around when, the pace of technological evolution really started to speed up in the media as well as every other aspect of life. You know, I mean, we started our life as a band kind of being a media critique band. You know, if you listen to our very earliest stuff, it's all kind of complaining about television and, you know, the news media and things like that. But really what we were getting at was just how society mirrors itself through technology. And I think that through line hasn't changed at all. Obviously, when we started having radio hits and stuff like that, we had to sort of fit ourselves into a certain template for pop consumption. But, you know, that too is kind of part of the whole gag.
One of my writers, Christina, wanted to ask you about the time period where you guys were not with you guys weren't with Kirk Harlan, and you guys did a tour without him. What was that like? And I guess the other question to follow up on is, what was it like to have Kirk back?
It's probably more accurate to say that there was a time when none of us were that interested in pop music, you know, and we had all gone off to sort of explore our own interests. And, you know, Kurt was doing his computer audio thing, and I was doing my music for TV and films kind of thing. And we still are doing those things. But we got together to do a couple of shows in 2005 that were kind of like New York radio station shows. And it was, you know, we hadn't played together for such a long time that it was actually kind of fun to get back on stage and do these songs and stuff. It was kind of the thing where enough time had elapsed that it didn't seem like, oh God, we've got to go and play these songs again. It was more like, oh, that's great. We get to go play those songs again. Which, so that kind of got us interested in making new music. But when I finally got around to actually writing some of the tracks, Kurt had just had a brand new baby and just had this gotten in a huge video game project that it was going to take over a year for him to complete. And he said, you know, it's like, I can't really take the time to do another record right now. And I said, well, I'm going to do it anyway then. And he said, that's fine, I don't care. And he did actually fly in and do a couple of tracks on that record. But, you know, we didn't really tour on that record. We played a couple of shows. Where did we play? I think we played once in New York with Chris Anton, and we played a couple of shows, you know, out of the country, like, I want to say Brazil or Mexico or somewhere like that. But it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't really say it was a tour or anything. But it was interesting. It was an interesting experience, you know, having the band without Kurt as the front man. But, you know, as soon as he became available again, you know, that's the obvious choice to be the singer for Information Society.
E ainda a participação de Capital Inicial e o grande sucesso do momento. Information Society.
Você não vai perder.
Information Society.
So yeah, speaking of Brazil and other countries, you guys are huge in Japan and Brazil, notably. You guys are returning back to Brazil, right, in March?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Brazil and, you know, some of these countries have become like our home away from home, and you know, Brazil in particular. It's probably our biggest market at this point.
You know, can you explain why that is? I know they love partying and house music and all that, but is there something about your music that translates so well to Portuguese?
You know, I've been asked that question a lot, and I can't really answer it. I think, my stock joke answer is that, you know, they obviously have excellent taste in music. but in reality, I don't know why. It's not just Brazil. We're very popular in all, you know, every... you know, Latin country, I won't even say Latin America, because we're also very popular in Spain and Portugal. So I don't know what it is about Spanish and Portuguese that that kind of, you know, creates this sweet spot for us in people's, you know, ears. But it's a phenomenon that we've known about since the early days, and have yet to be able to find a way to explain it.
So tell me a little bit about Hack Attack International and also Think Tank, which is that your own personal project?
Yeah, Think Tank came about as basically as a pseudonym for the band when we released some white label 12 inches over in the UK. And our label, Tommy Boy, was just said, you know, you guys have to, we want this to be an underground thing leading up to Hack, actually. So these tracks are instrumental, so why don't we give it a different name? And so we just came up with Think Tank as our you know, pseudonym for these 12 inches. And it turns out that one of these 12 inches became a really big club hit in the UK. And when we kind of wound down Information Society in the 90s, I still wanted to kind of explore that area of music. So I retained the name Think Tank, and I created a label to release the Think Tank music on called Hack Attack, which is what the Think Tank 12 inches had been released on originally. It's just that at the time, Hack Attack Records was a made-up name. They were still coming out through the Warner Brothers distribution system, but then I took the name and made it into an actual label.
If you'll all gather close around the phonograph and listen carefully, I'll tell you how we're going to have a whole lot of fun.
So your new single is called Land of the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about this. And have you guys seen this movie called Blindness, which is it's kind of based on a Portuguese novel, actually, about how the world became blind overnight?
No, I have not seen that.
Yeah, so the king is basically this blind man who's been blind all his life. He's born blind. So he became the king of this world. So interesting movie, stars Julian Moore. And I just thought of that when I heard the title, Land of the Blind. And, of course, the lyrics, the one-eyed king, a man is king, I mean, plays straight into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a kind of a hackneyed proverb, but it did seem to lend itself to a certain idea in songwriting. In the sense that if you're the person who knows a little bit something, you've got a huge advantage over someone who really doesn't know anything about what's going on. And that's true whether you're talking about a relationship or whether you're talking about society as a whole.
Tell me a little bit about your upcoming album, Hello World. Is it going to be very similar to what we've heard with Land of the Blind and that B-side, which is, I forget the title now.
Oh, Me and My Rhythm Box. It's not going to sound much like Me and My Rhythm Box. That was just a sort of a fun cover that we wanted to do in homage of that horrible slash awesome movie, Liquid Sky, from the early 80s.
Never forget a beat. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why? My rhythm box is sweet. Never forget a beat. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why?
You know, I would say that Land of the Blind is probably the most traditional sounding of all the songs on the upcoming record, in the sense that it's the one that sounds most like our old music. And that's one of the reasons that we decided to release it as the first single, just because, you know, it's been a long time since the three of us have worked together on a record and put out a record as Information Society. So we wanted to establish right off the bat that this wasn't going to be some sort of artsy exploration, into something. This was going to be a full-on, honest-to-God Information Society record. And so we wanted to get that out in front and release that so that people could hear and say, oh yeah, that sounds exactly like Information Society. And I think that we succeeded in that.
Great. Yeah, I love it, by the way. It kind of reminds me of Peace and Love Incorporated a little bit with that beat.
Mm-hmm. That car for years. He had it for probably 10 years in San Francisco, and it you know, he drove it to Burning Man a couple of times, and I think that it's still alive. I think that he gave it to a friend of his who lives in Arizona, so it's like living in the desert somewhere, but I do think it still exists. I can't tell you whether it's functional or not.
By the way, is the new album coming out this summer then?
Yeah, we're not exactly sure when it's going to, whether it's going to be sometime in probably July, but we're waiting so that we can coordinate with our Brazilian label. And they are wanting to wait until after the World Cup.
Oh, right, right. You don't want to be overshadowed. Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess in Brazil, everything is going to be, you know, all World Cup all the time. So I think that it's probably going to be around July or maybe early August. Whenever the World Cup is over, that's when it's coming out.
Okay, yeah, it's then the album's mixed and done and everything then.
Well, it's done. You know, it's not fully mixed yet. We're mixing these one at a time. I just got another one back to listen to Friday, actually. So, yeah, we're taking a slow approach to this. And, you know, we're going to do a second single at some point, too, before the album comes out. So.
Sure.
We're not in a huge hurry. It's been 20 years, so, you know, why rush it at this point?
Paul, it's a pleasure having you on We Heart Music Radio.
Well, thanks for having me.
Here is Kevmar.
Now you're definitely missing it. 6:15. The sun is coming up, and this thing never, ever, ever slowed down.